Sunday today where we observe All Saints Day. All Saints Day is, of course, November 1st, and since this is the closest Sunday thereafter, today is the day where we will be observing and noting the celebration of All Saints. Some of you probably already know this, but All Saints is one of the four great feasts in the church year. First, of course, and foremost is Easter, and then Christmas, and then Pentecost, and then fourthly is All Saints. And so this is a significant observance in the Christian calendar. And what I'd like to do is first say a little bit about why celebrate All Saints. And then I want to go on and talk a little bit about substitutes, superheroes, and sacrifice. And I don't usually alliterate that often, but you know, I think on All Saints I can make an exception. So before we get started, though, let's take a moment, bow our heads, and pray together, shall we? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, gathered together by you, for we indeed are part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would be present here in our midst. Would you minister to us through your Holy Spirit? Would you heal up our woundedness? Would you forgive us our sins and set our feet upon the rock? Lord, would you reveal yourself to us in your word and in the power of your Spirit? And Lord, I pray and ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, why All Saints Day? What is it really all about? Well, there's a couple reasons why. First of all, is that Scripture tells us in a few places that we who are believers are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, a great host of witnesses. And this comes to us from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, where the writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that is the faithful that have lived long before us, and they're now surrounding us, looking down and cheering us on, as it were. Because of that reason, we do not flag or fail, he says in Hebrews 12, that we lift up our weak arms and we carry forward. And so there's a very great reality that we who trust in Christ are surrounded in a very supernatural sense by an immeasurable host, some of whom are angels and some of whom are those who have died in the faith, and they are gathered before God. And so we remember them on All Saints Day. So that comes to us from Scripture. It also comes to us to stand to reason that we're not making this Christian thing up as we go along. At least we shouldn't be. Some of us maybe think we have to or try to, but one of the things that's so valuable and significant to remember on All Saints is that we stand on the shoulders of giants. That we stand on the shoulders of the generations upon generations of faithful people who have gone before us. And that we today would be fools not to learn from them and to see what they dealt with and what they learned in years and generations past. So on All Saints Day, we remember the faithful. One, because Scripture tells us about it. It doesn't command it, but it tells us about it. Two, very plainly, we are not the first generation of Christians. And we have many thousands of generations previous to us to look to and to learn from. And then finally, why All Saints? Well, because all of us, whether we realize it or like it or not, need and seek out people to look up to. Now, remembering All Saints in a place like St. George's is kind of special, because in a very real sense, we're almost literally surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. And I'm, of course, referring to our beautiful stained glass windows. And many of you know this, but for those who might be a guest with us today, on our window on my left, your right, are the depictions of saintly people from all eras of the church's life, going all the way back to St. Augustine, who was the Bishop of Hippo in North Africa in the early 5th century, all the way right up to St. C.S. Lewis, who died as recently as 1963. And there's even a window for all the saints. And so we have men and women of Christian faith all through the ages. And here's my question. So that's kind of the introduction. That's why All Saints, right? So now, what about substitution? Right, that's the second S, or the first S, I should say. Why? Here's a question that might just sort of tickle your imagination. Why is it that a man who lived on the other side of the world 1,700 years ago gets his picture in a window in Dayton, Ohio in the 21st century? Now, some people might, well, he's a saint. But you know, well, okay, yeah, work with me here. But think about that. Why is it that someone who lived thousands of years ago on a faraway land, why do we have this picture in the window? Do you ever think about that? And I think the answer is because St. Augustine had a profound influence, not only in the Christian world of his own day, but through the work that God did in his life that has echoed down through the ages. And numerous Christians for centuries have been influenced by St. Augustine and St. Patrick and Joan of Arc and John Donne and Richard Hooker, and we go on down the line. Why? Here's why. Because all people, to a greater or lesser extent, all people, whether it's conscious or subconscious, always seek out a substitute. We always look for someone whose life we say, I want to live like that. Now, we call them role models. We call them heroes. We give them different names. But what I'm getting at is something a little bit more deeper than saying, you know, I really like the Beatles' music. But rather, I really want to be and be like, you know, Paul McCartney. You see the difference? Now, in my day growing up, you know, Paul McCartney, I know who he is. And he, you know, I didn't grow up with Paul McCartney. You know, in my day, girls put on makeup like Cyndi Lauper, you know, and Madonna. That was, you know, but it wasn't because, like, oh, I really like her music. They did. But you don't just put on makeup and dress up like Cyndi Lauper because it's Thursday or because you really like her music. Right? Why? Because there's something in her that drew young women to herself. There was something about her life and her music and all these things that people, not all of them were girls, I suspect, but you know, most of them, said, there's something about her that I want or like or I'm drawn to. And we all do it. You know, one of my heroes is on our narthex window on the end, Thomas Kretmer. Now, I want you to know it's not my aspiration in life to be burned at the stake. but when you look at his life, what God did through him, the transformation, the impact that he had on the Church of England, on the first prayer book, and when you look at the sacrifices he made, I'm like, wow, what an amazing guy. And very clearly, I am not a 16th century Archbishop of Canterbury. But yet there is something about him that I'm drawn to. In a sense, this is fulfilling a very real human need for a substitute. And we all have them. And that's not a bad thing. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we have saints. That we all have someone in the faith that we uphold and look to and say, there's just something about St. Francis that just fascinates and draws me in. Now, who are the people that you look to in that way? Who are your substitutes? You might be thinking, gosh, I don't know, or think if I have any. Chances are you do, you just don't realize it. And that's okay, too. Part of life is figuring these things out. So that's the substitute. Now, I also know, and you probably know this too, that while it's good in one sense to have a role model, a substitute, somebody that you're looking to emulate, there's also a propensity for a lot of harm to come from that. Right? I'm thinking, you know, stalkers and that kind of thing. But also, look at it this way. Why is the NFL cracking down so much on their players' conduct, both on and off the field, so much more heavily recently? Trust me, I'm a Steelers fan. I know all about this. It's because the league understands that these players have a profound capacity to influence people whether they like it or realize it or not. And particularly younger people, but not always. And so their behavior, their capacity as that substitute, while on the one hand can do great good for someone, can also do great harm. And so as Christians, we have to be aware of this characteristic of our nature. Okay, so that's substitute. That's the positive side of our nature. What about the negative side? And this is the superhero part, right? We all like superheroes. I'm a big fan of Superman, Batman. I collected comic books in high school and in college and later. Now I just watch the movies, right? But we all have superheroes, even people who are fictional, right? Who just, wow, inspire me. But what do people love more than seeing a superhero make a career? They love to see a superhero fall. And nothing makes a headline and sells print, press, and paper better than seeing someone who was an upstanding member of the community take a fall. Nothing makes the public squeal with masochistic glee better than seeing someone who is upright and upstanding have a scandal rack their lives. And you might be thinking, well, I don't think and do those sorts of things. Well, maybe not. But I tell you what, if people didn't do it, the news wouldn't cover it. So there's this capacity that we have to like to see our heroes torn down. And this is not even above the church for doing that. The church recently makes a career out of saying, well, so-and-so really didn't do this, and so-and-so really didn't write this, and so-and-so really didn't. And we're tearing down substitutes. Why? Because it's what we do. We're people. So on the one hand, we have this built-in, hardwired desire to find a substitute, someone to look up to and emulate, a life that we say, I want that life. But on the other hand, we also have this annoying propensity to want to see those heroes torn down, and we kind of relish when it happens. Such are we. But where to go with all this? Well, this comes to my last S. And if you remember from the introduction, I'll get to it in a second. But I want to close by saying this, that if in the end, if all I could say to you was, hey, why don't you try just being more like St. Augustine there? Now, I got to be honest. I've read St. Augustine. He's a fascinating man. And no writer in the Christian world has been quoted or had more influence next to St. Paul himself than St. Augustine. But is it enough for me to just strive to be like him? Well, yes, in a sense. It's good to have people you learn from. Like I said, past generations that we look to for instruction and guidance and inspiration. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that all there is to it? In fact, if I were to take every saintly person on this window and sort of amalgamate them into a Saint Frankenstein saint kind of thing, you know, like an uber holy person, and if I said to you, "Hey, just be like that saint thing," would that be enough? And the answer is no. Why? Because what you and I need is not simply a great example for life. What you and I most desperately need is life itself. What you and I need is not just an example for life, but we need to be given life. You see the difference? And the only person who can give life is Jesus Christ. He's the one who made the sacrifice. And that's the third S. Substitute, superheroes, and sacrifice. The only one who can raise the dead. The only one who can heal. The only one who can forgive. The only one who can breathe life into dry bones is not the saints. It's Jesus. And if there's anyone who we should be looking to for our substitute, both in terms of our need for emulation, but also our substitute before a holy God, And in fact, every single one of these saints, I'd be willing to put money on the table, would say, hey, future generations of Christians, amazing things happened to me, but don't look at me. Look at the one who worked through me to my Savior. And so All Saints is a time to look back on the generations of the faithful on whose shoulders we stand and whose traditions we live in and whom we look to as our guidance and inspiration. That's wonderful. But what really matters is that we look to the one who gives us life itself. And that is actually